Well, good morning and welcome to Amazing Grace Community Church. Glad you're here. It's a lot of snow here today and we have a smaller group because of that, but we're blessed for all of you that you could make it. And I toyed with whether or not to teach on this week because knowing that we'd have a smaller group, I feel like it's a message that I'd like everybody in the church to hear and learn, but you came here, so you came here to get the word, so here we go. I guess I got to do this message, and because God brought it up. Last week, I stated that a biblical worldview includes that Jesus is coming back to gather up his bride, that'd be the rapture, and later to wage war on unrighteousness and set up a new kingdom on earth. And this is part of the first resurrection. A little more detail on that particular point is that between the time of gathering his bride and setting up the new kingdom, there's a period of 7 years called the tribulation. It's the period where the Antichrist rules the world and God is enacting judgments on the earth, and people followed by pouring out his wrath on the earth and people. So this week, we're going to look back at a couple passages that doctrinal point is derived from. We're going to travel back to 552 BC to an area called Babylon during a time when God is revealing the future to the prophet Daniel. In Daniel chapters 7 through 12 is where we come up with a lot of the teaching on the four beasts, the Ancient of Days, the ten horns plus the one little horn, the everlasting kingdom, the Antichrist, the 70 weeks, the tribulation, Israel, and the resurrection. So I felt that this message is important because so often we say what we think about the end times and then somebody quickly looks at Revelation, well, I can't find it there, or how did you get all of that? And it doesn't come from just one place in the Bible. The end times are dealt with in a lot of the books of the Bible. So Daniel is one of those where it has a lot of information. So turn with me to Daniel chapter 7 this week, and we're going to read through that chapter and see what we can dig out of it. There's basically two parts. The first 14 verses are about the vision that Daniel has, and then the second 14 verses are the interpretation of the vision. And in the vision, it includes the four beasts, the Ancient of Days, and then the Son of Man coming and being given dominion. And then after that, we go into the interpretation. But let's start with chapter 7, verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions in his mind as he lay on his bed. Then he wrote the dream down and related the following summary of it. Daniel said, I was looking in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts were coming up from the sea, different from one another. So what he's saying is that these beasts represent world powers, and each beast, each world power, each kingdom has different aspects that represent that beast or characteristics of that beast. And these four beasts are representing kingdoms of Babylonia, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. And then the final kingdom that we'll read about is the kingdom of God, the everlasting kingdom, and that's ruled by the Son of Man. So he says that these beasts were coming up from the sea, and they were each different from one another. And we'll see that as we read through the scripture here. But the sea is basically the world, not so much the ocean part of the sea. Verse 4, the first beast was like a lion and had the wings of an eagle. I kept looking until its wings were plucked, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. A human mind was also given to it. So this first bee came out of what we call the political sea, not so much the water ocean. And this first beast coming up out of Babylon is representing Nebuchadnezzar. And he stood up after 7 years of being forced to crawl around and eat the grass like an animal. And when he completed those 7 years and stood up, he acknowledged God. He acknowledged the God of Daniel. And in fact, he told his whole kingdom that we will worship this God of Daniel's, because Nebuchadnezzar was demanding that people worship the statue that he had made of himself. Verse 5, and behold, another beast, a second one resembling a bear. And it was raised up on one side, and 3 ribs were in its mouth between its teeth. And thus they said to it, arise, devour much meat. This second beast, the one that's like a bear, is said to be Persia, represent Persia. And those 3 ribs that are in the mouth of the bear are said to represent Babylon, Lydia, and Egypt. All right, continue on, verse 6. After this, I kept looking, and behold, another one like a leopard, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. The beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. So this third beast, being like a leopard is very sleek, it runs very fast, and historically, Alexander the Great represents this kingdom. And he was a small king, and he had a small kingdom, but it grew rapidly through conquest. In other words, he went through vast stretches of territory and conquered them and put them under his kingdom. And then the 4 heads that we see in this beast represent his empire being divided up into 4 parts after he died. I guess I should say that these 4 kingdoms that are represented by these 4 beasts are historical to us, but they were present and future to Daniel. In other words, the first beast that came up representing Nebuchadnezzar was starting at the time that Daniel was there, but then from that point forward, it began to be in the future. The one of the bear, and then the next one like a leopard. So these different kingdoms came about because of the different conquerors and kings that were doing the conquering. And what we see is after these 4 kingdoms, as the 4th one moves into our future, so we see that these 4 beasts represent historic kingdoms. And then 1 represents maybe about where we're at or almost at today into the future. And then finally, we have the everlasting kingdom, which is still future. All right, that was a little side note. Let's jump back to verse 7. Daniel says, after this, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, dreadful and terrifying and extremely strong, and it had large iron teeth. It devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder with its feet, and it was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. While I was contemplating the horns, behold, another horn, a little one, came up among them, and 3 of the 1st horns were pulled out by the roots before it, and behold, the horn possessed eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth uttering great beasts or boasts. So this 4th beast was different than the others, and it had 10 horns that came up, and among them another horn, a little one, which plucked out the first 3 horns. And this represents 10 kingdoms 10 horns represent 10 kingdoms into which Rome shall be found finally divided when the Antichrist appears. The little horn, which is little at first but becoming greater than the others and plucking out the other three, is said to be the Antichrist. So verse 8, where it talks about this little horn and the eyes of a man and a mouth uttering great boasts, this is speaking of the Antichrist. It's a vision and a prophecy. It doesn't use the name Antichrist, but it describes the man. So the Antichrist will have these characteristics, that he will have eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth uttering great boasts. He will be proud. The Antichrist is essentially the opposite of Christ, and he mimics many things of God, but in the opposite way. For example, the false Trinity. He creates a Trinity between the Antichrist and the first beast and the second beast. And everything he does is the opposite of what Christ does, says, and wants. So this helps us understand why our world is currently being turned upside down. Why things that used to be good are now considered evil. And the things that used to be evil are now considered good. In fact, that's exactly what Isaiah said was going to happen, that evil will be called good and good will be called evil. That's what's happening in our world right now. And I think because it's happening, it will make the Antichrist's job in uniting the whole world around his upside down system much easier. So another example, the Antichrist will be saying that Christians are bad, that Jesus is bad, that Jesus is not God, and the Antichrist will be wanting the world to worship him. So I think that what we see happening in our day, where nothing makes sense, it's not rational, it's not logical, good is evil and evil is good, starts to take on some new insight when we realize that's the world of the Antichrist. I'm not saying the Antichrist is here right now, but I'm saying we are being conditioned. The world is being conditioned and changed to prepare for the arrival of the Antichrist. The Antichrist is said to be in the world, but before he's revealed, and then he's revealed. He isn't all of a sudden born and then exists, but he's in the world and is revealed. All right, chapter 7, verse 9. I kept looking until thrones were set up, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His vesture was like white snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was ablaze with flames. Its wheels were a burning fire. A river of fire was flowing and coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands were attending him, and myriads upon myriads were standing before him. The court sat, and the books were opened. So the Ancient of Days is another title of God the Father. He's described as having hair like pure wool and his vesture like gleaming white snow, thrown ablaze with flames, wheels like a burning fire. So he enters the scene or the room, and he sits down ready to pass judgment. It talks about thousands upon thousands attending him. So that represents the saints, the servants of God. And then he talks about myriads upon myriads, which would be 10,000s of 10,000s. And that is the world and all the kingdoms. Sadly, Jesus told us, as narrow is the gate to righteousness, and wide is the path to destruction. So unfortunately, there's going to be a lot more people that are not saved and headed for the fiery lake than those that will be in heaven. There will still be billions of people in heaven, but there should have been way more. So he does pass judgment. Everyone, every human ever existed will have to stand before the Lord and face judgment. Those of us who have been born again, our names written in the book of life, we're judged already, and we're We're given grace and salvation and eternal life. So we don't have our judgment on whether we're going to go to hell or not. Our works will be judged. But those who haven't believed, when they stand before judgment, the judgment that's rendered is eternity in the fiery lake without God. Verse 11, then I kept looking because of the sound of the boastful words which the horn was speaking. In other words, that's the Antichrist. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body was destroyed and given to the burning fire. As for the rest of the beasts, their dominion was taken away, but an extension of life was granted to them for an appointed period of time. So, again, we see here where the Antichrist is doing things to mimic what Jesus did. In fact, it's said that he will be wounded and killed, or apparently killed, and then raised up out of the grave a few days later, and that's mimicking Jesus' crucifixion, burial, and resurrection. And that's to deceive the world with false signs and wonders during the tribulation. The beasts, you know, their dominion is just for a period of time, and then their dominion is taken away. Going on with verse 13, this is where the Son of Man is given dominion. I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a Son of Man was coming, and he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. This is just like Jesus coming up to the Father from his resurrection and being presented to the Father and then taking his place at the right hand of the throne. 14, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. And this is what we say and know about Jesus, that he's an eternal king and his everlasting kingdom is eternal, and we will reside there with him and we will reign with him. His kingdom shall never end. Whenever a human is born, they are immortal. They will never die. They'll physically die, but their soul will never die. It's just a question of the location. Will they be in heaven with Jesus or in the fiery lake of hell with all of the other unbelievers? I think if we were to acknowledge that we're immortal, not eternal, but immortal. Eternal means you're not created. Immortal is we were created and we will never die. We're going to physically die, but our soul will never die. If we were to acknowledge that we were immortal, I think we would live a little bit differently. We would realize that we don't have 40, 50, 60, 80 years on earth, but man, let's do things in such a way while we're here on the earth that have eternal significance, eternal value, because we're immortal. We're going to be eternal from this point out. That's what immortal means. You have a starting point, but then we're eternal from that point forward. So we see in these two verses where the Father gives the Son dominion and glory and a kingdom, and that all people should serve him. His kingdom will never end. So this vision explains this spiritual realm of existence that I'm talking about, the immortal existence. Interestingly enough, when this vision was given to Daniel, the Son of Man wouldn't appear for another 550 years. And then we're looking ahead way beyond, even into the last chapter, a few chapters of Revelation through this vision. We've read verses 1 through 14. This is the vision, and now verse 15 starts with the interpretation of the vision. As for me, Daniel, my spirit was distressed within me, and the visions in my mind kept alarming me. I approached one of those who were standing by and began asking him the exact meaning of all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. These great beasts, which are four in number, are four kings who will arise from the earth. But the saints of the highest one will receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever for all ages to come. So this is where we derive this fact that we will live with Jesus, the Son of Man, for eternity, and that that kingdom will never end. So we're not just making it up. It's right here in the vision that God gave Daniel. We are the saints of the highest one. Verse 19, then I desired to know the exact meaning of the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, and its teeth of iron and its claws of bronze, and which devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder with its feet. And the meaning of the ten horns that were on its head, and the other horn which came up, and before which three of them fell, namely, that horn which had eyes and a mouth uttering great boasts, and which was larger in appearance than its associates. I kept looking, and that horn was waging war with the saints and overpowering them until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was passed in favor of the saints of the highest one. And the time arrived when the saints took possession of the kingdom. Hallelujah. So these few verses just reiterate what I said earlier, and it reinforces what our future is, being sons of the highest one, of the Ancient of Days, and the fact that he is going to pass judgment, and it's in favor of the saints of the highest one. In other words, we're blessed, we receive the eternal kingdom, we receive eternal life, we take possession of the kingdom. It has not yet come, but it is coming. So this fourth beast is said to be Babylon, which is Rome fully developed. So Babylon started out as that center, that spiritual center of idolatry and evil, and Rome took over and fully developed that whole evil center of idolatry. So the ten horns, they're those ten kingdoms. We don't know who they are right yet, and we may not know till that time, and there's a lot of speculation as to what those ten horns are, which countries those are, which power centers those are, which kings those are, but we don't know. The Bible doesn't say. There's a lot of logical guesses, but it's just food for thought at the moment. So that little horn of the 11th king is that Antichrist and rules the world for 7 years. And then the saints shall rule after that, shall rule under God with Jesus in that everlasting kingdom. All right, finishing up verse 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast will be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which will be different from all the other ones, and will devour the whole earth and tread it down and crush it. As for the ten horns, out of this kingdom, ten kings will arise, and another will arise after them, and he will be different from the previous ones and will subdue three kings. He will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the highest one, and he will intend to make alterations in times and in law. So, the Antichrist will be changing the calendar, will be changing holidays and observations and traditions, and things will be backwards. They'll feel backwards, and he'll change what the law is. And basically, anything that was lawful before he arrived will now be against the law, and anything that was against the law will now be the promoted law, the proper law. And finishing up, verse 25, and they will be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. That expression, time, times, and half a time, means 3.5 years. So this is the last half of the 7-year tribulation. verse 26, but the court will sit for judgment, and his dominion will be taken away. In other words, the Antichrist's dominion will be taken away, annihilated and destroyed forever. Amen. 27. Then the sovereignty, the dominion, and the greatness of all the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints of the highest one. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all the dominions will serve and obey him. So right now, we can't say that all the kingdoms and all the people and dominions are serving and obeying God, are we? I mean, we can't say that. But there will come a time when that is the case, and it will be a blessed time, and that's why heaven is such a something to look forward to. I mean, there won't be any strife. There won't be dissensions. There won't be arguments, and we won't be tempted by Satan to sin, and we won't be feeling bad about our sin and the things that we do that we don't want to do and the things we want to do that we don't do. So finishing up in the last verse, chapter or verse 28. At this point, the revelation ended. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts were greatly alarming me and my face grew pale, but I kept the matter to myself. I don't blame him. That was quite a vision, huh? All right, so kind of a summary of this vision. The whole point of this vision, this whole point of this prophecy is Jesus. Everything in human history is rolling forward to this point that this vision is talking about, where the Son of Man has dominion over an everlasting kingdom. The summary is that the four great beasts and the four kings who arise out of the earth, but the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever. That's speaking about us. That's one of the main points of this prophecy. This point about Jesus is that it's speaking about Jesus to come, the Son of Man to come, the Son of Man to reign, the Son of Man to return to gather up his bride, and the Son of Man to rule within the everlasting kingdom and his saints. So that's why I say this. This whole prophecy and vision, the main point is Jesus. This vision also reveals the little horn, in other words, the Antichrist, that will rule the world for 7 years. And we'll get into that a little bit more next week in Daniel 9 when Daniel prophesies about the 70 weeks. This prophecy also reveals there's a long historical time period before this whole vision is completed. And God gives Daniel another vision about the timing of this whole thing. And that's what we're going to talk about next week, about the 70 weeks. Alrighty. Well, there's a lot to think about in this chapter 7, and I hope that some of this helped you make sense of what the end times are and how we're in the last days and we're rapidly progressing towards the end times. And when we talk about the end times, all of the various facets of the end times, such as the rapture and the tribulation, the trumpet judgments, the bowls of wrath, the Battle of Armageddon, the physical return of Jesus, where he stands right there in Jerusalem, the Mount of Olives, and where we have the millennial reign for 1,000 years, and then we have the new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem. I hope some of this is beginning to make sense, because if you're to read just one book, Revelation, so much of that is founded upon some of these older books, like Daniel and Ezekiel and so on. Alrighty, well, God bless you, and let's gather around and pray for one another.